ready to go. Ready to go.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Warming up, we are up 7 degrees in the past hour. We're up to 39 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Again, temperatures expected to get into the 60s before all is said and done. The time is 9:07. Thanks again to Bob Look for joining us. And again, every other week. And we're talking, actually, and I'm going to throw this out there. I haven't told you yet, Ian, but not next week, but the week following on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm going to take a little time off.
Oh.
And we're talking about having Bob sit in for me at least on Wednesday, and I'm going to talk to some other folks to try and square it away to have him maybe do it all 3 days. So
okay,
leave you out. I'm going to take a deep breath and try to, at the end of a long winter high school sports season, take a few days off, and then be back the following Thursday to do North Star Nose and all that stuff. But Bob,
you deserve some time off. Absolutely.
Bob, a professional. So it's nice to have a professional come here and sit and run the show. So it looks like the next time around, 2 weeks from today, which would normally be Bob's return visit, instead of being in the guest chair, he'll be in the big chair and serving as the host while I'm going to give you a hint. When I'm away, I'm going to be playing a little poker.
Oh.
I haven't played any poker since I went to the World Series of Poker last summer. And every summer I go to the World Series. And basically what I do is I play in the World Series. Then I don't play at all for months because Saturdays and Fridays and weekends and during the fall and the winter, I don't have time to go off. And there's not a casino around here that has poker tournaments. And I like playing poker tournaments. I like to, and basically I go over to Minneapolis to play in some poker tournaments.
Oh,
and once we get past the winter sports, as we get to the spring, I try to start to play a little bit to try to get my game back into shape before I go off to Vegas in the summer to play in the World Series.
Makes
because
sense.
I play in one tournament every summer. It's a small buy-in. It's not, people say, well, you see the main event. I don't play in the main event because you have to pay $10,000 to get in the main event. I play in a smaller buy-in tournaments, and it's one of my highlights every year. I take a vacation after the end of spring sports, take a week off, I go off to Vegas, which is really, if you think about it, it's really stupid because it's like 110 degrees every day in the summer in Las Vegas.
Yes, it is.
But that's where they hold the World Series, so I go do that. So I got to start getting my game in shape. So during my little time away, I'm going to go and play quite a bit of poker and start to get my poker muscles back working. Mm. And also, just as you said, I think we all need to once in a while take a step back and a refresh. As you said, after your play, you had a chance to audition right away. But no, you got to take a little time because it also makes you appreciate what you're doing. I love what I do, but
it really
also
does. Instead of getting burned out and overwhelmed, it's nice to take a few weeks off in between shows and just, you know, soak it all in.
Yep, exactly. So to have a few days where Bob can maybe handle things, and we'll move forward after that. But that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have Sean Wright join us. We're expecting him any time now to talk about what's happening at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Want to remind folks that tomorrow night, the State High School Boys Basketball Tournament, the Marathon Red Raiders looking to get the two wins they need in order to get the gold ball, win state. They'll be taking on Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic tomorrow night. And it'll be a Division IV state semifinal. The Red Raiders, the number 4 seed, Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic, the Raiders, number 1 seed, Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic, the number 4 seed. Okay. I'll be at the Kohl Center in Madison tomorrow night. Tip-off set for 6:35. I'll be on the air around 6:20. That's my plan tomorrow night. We'll see, if there are any changes. But 6:20 is the pregame, 6:35 for the opening tip, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And I know it's going to be on Channel 9 here in Wausau, but I encourage everybody that's a Marathon basketball fan that's watching that game tomorrow night, turn down the sound. And if Brad Hansen is out there, Brad Hansen, I've known Brad for a long time. He's actually been on the program in the past. I'm thinking he's probably going to be on the microphone for Channel 9. I apologize to Brad for trying to take away some of his listeners. But doggone it, got to listen to the radio broadcast along with the video, and everybody wins that way. The ratings will be good for them. The ratings will be good for us. So, again,
sounds like a good deal.
I encourage everybody to simulcast it with the radio and the TV tomorrow night, Marathon and Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic. And normally you think, boy, you'd never think Marathon would play Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic in anything. But the thing was, a few years ago, Marathon's baseball team made it to the state tournament in 2021. And who did they play in the semifinals? Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic. That day was a bad day for the Red Raider baseball team. Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic won that semifinal en route to a state championship. So hopefully Marathon will turn the tables tomorrow night.
Certainly hope so.
Also tonight, we're down to our final two big high school sports shows of the season, tonight and next Wednesday. Tonight, Jeff Gress and myself, 6 until 8 p.m., talk about last week's girls' state basketball tournament, talk about the upcoming boys' state basketball tournament, plus special guests. Our coach guest this week will be from Merrill High School, their boys' basketball coach, Troy Pieper. And then at 7 o'clock, our student-athlete guest, again, one of the best parts of the show, we'll talk to Thomas Passano, the outstanding junior from D.C. Everest, earned second team All-Wisconsin Valley Conference. So that's tonight, big high school sports show. From 6 till 8 p.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk a bit more about this, but the idea of Aaron Rodgers being discussed as a vice presidential candidate. Have you heard this? Yesterday afternoon, it came out.
No, I have not heard this.
A story in the New York Times came out that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he is running as an independent for president. And he has got two people on his short list to be his running mates. One is New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and the other is former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah, but if you're serious about governing, about being a good president, you need good people around you. I don't think Aaron Rodgers' experience lends itself to being vice president of the United States.
I don't know him personally. I don't know if he has a lot of political experiences or not, but I'm going to say that he probably doesn't have as much as what's probably needed. I'm guessing.
Probably not. And the thing about Aaron Rodgers, he loves this. Aaron Rodgers, is, I'm sure, loves every moment where the people are talking about him. He would love the fact we're talking about him right now. He's a guy that seems to be very much into enjoying the fact that he is being talked about and he is in the news. And again, he would have to quit football if he wanted to run for vice president.
That is true.
I mean, he can't play for the Jets on Sunday. They go on the campaign trail on Monday.
Yeah.
So
I can't imagine trying to balance that out.
But it shows
like
again.
If I was running for vice president and had to give up a theater, I could never do that because I love theater. I don't know a squat about politics, so that would be a really bad choice for me.
So you want to let Robert F. Kennedy Jr. know right now that Ian Welsh is not available to be his running mate here in the fall?
No, if you're listening, I am not interested.
Or you're going to let Donald Trump know that while he tries to decide who his running mate is, that you're not going to be interested in being Donald Trump's running mate?
If he calls me, I will create a voicemail that
will burn his ears, right?
Yeah, just something funny that'll get him annoyed. But No, that's not going to happen.
But again, it's just the idea that
yeah,
there should be a seriousness about this. That it should not be. And again, the whole idea behind Trump was celebrity. He was a big celebrity. And then, and it's like.
And Aaron Rodgers is a big celebrity.
Right.
Too.
And it's like, let's stop with the celebrity worship and let's start looking at real life results for real life people. Because, again, these folks have records. And even Aaron Rodgers has a record. He was caught telling a fib when it came to being vaccinated against COVID.
I remember that.
And maybe that's why. Well, I think that is one reason why that Robert F. Kennedy, who is a big vaccine denier, wants to have Aaron Rodgers part of his team.
So, again,
but at the same time, we need to be serious. There are serious issues that the next president will have to deal with, the next presidential term. And it's not some sort of game. It really isn't. And sometimes I start to worry that we get caught up. And I've said this before about how news is now a profit center, where if you get the most entertainment value from it, more people watch the news and you'll make more money on ads. It shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't. So, again, hopefully as we get towards April 2nd and our spring election here in Wisconsin, and as we get towards the November election here in 2024, people will take a long, hard look at what these folks really stand for. So, again, interesting stuff. The time is 9:17. We'll come back in just a few moments and get a chance to talk to the man who just walked through the doors, Sean Wright from the Grand Theater. He'll be joining us coming up in a few moments. Again, a beautiful start here in central Wisconsin, temperature of 39 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 12:30. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Very happy to welcome back Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, Performing Arts Foundation of Wausau. Again, you have such good substitutes. It's almost like you weren't even gone to 2 weeks ago.
You know, that's the whole point is to get better people than yourself.
There you go.
Fill in.
But it's always good to have you back.
Yeah.
And again, we're getting into the spring and things never slow down. I mean, there really is not a slowdown period. Maybe a day and a half around the time, third of the year or something
exactly.
like that. But things are always happening. And I guess, again, what has been happening? Have you been continuing to get the crowds you've been getting for the last number of years?
Yeah, it's been a very busy couple of weeks. I was just looking in advance of coming in, and we have a school show this afternoon, and that will be event number 11 in the month of March. And notice
it's the 13th.
Yes, it's the 13th. And really, the reason it's not more is we had a Broadway show, so you got to take a day off
right.
to load that show in a day, or to prep for that show in a day to restore after that show. Otherwise, who knows what it would be? But yeah, it's been a very, very busy first 13 days of March, and we kind of, and I say that, we have, you know, school show today, evening show tomorrow, show Friday, show Saturday.
I love, and you put on the Facebook page yesterday about the last arts and education show,
yes.
But you have the pictures where you see the buses all lined up.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's always such a cool day when you come downtown and you see all those buses lined up.
It really is. Yeah, it's so much fun to see, you know, to see students just excited, whether it's their first time in the theater, their first time at a show. You know, all of those things, and it's just an important mission thing for us, and you know, a lot of organizations have scaled back their education programs because, you know, schools have a harder time fitting them in the budget and things like that. And bus drivers are a challenge in terms of making those things work. And we're committed to it. Got the lowest ticket price in the state. And it's because of exactly what you said. It's all worth it. It's chaos. It's organized chaos.
Right.
But it's chaos getting 1,160 some odd students in and ready for a performance. Monday was only one show, though. Those days are a piece of cake. It's the 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. that by the end you kind of go, what just happened?
It's just so great to expose these young people to something that they could become fans of for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. The number of people in this community and the time I've been here who I've had that conversation. You know, the first time I came to the Grand was, and of course, for people of a certain generation, it was, you know, to see Star Wars or E.T. or some, you know, movie. But then you also see an entire generation, you know, since the theater was truly reopened as a performing arts venue, who say, I came here to see Nutcracker. I came here to see Charlotte's Web. I came here to see, you know, Beauty and the Beast. And you go, oh wow, that's really cool that you have those people. In fact, you know, some of our ensemble members now who are, you know, juniors and seniors in high school, and they talk about, oh, the first time that I came, it was on a school field trip, and now here I am performing as part of the pre-show entertainment or in my own cabaret as part of it.
Incredible. Really, really cool stuff. As you said, it continues to stay busy. What are some of the shows that are coming up, especially that there are still tickets available that people should be thinking about in terms of if you want to go, better think about getting to the box office?
Absolutely. You know, we've one sort of staying with the theme of great school things. You know, tomorrow night we're actually hosting the annual Wausau West Bandstock concert, which is always such a fun event. Obviously, with the renovations going on at the Wausau West Auditorium, they've moved that in the pop concert to the Grand this year, so we're excited to have them. So we encourage people, please, to come out. That's going to be a really fun night to support some amazing, talented high school students. And then Friday night we did actually put about 15 tickets on sale this morning that we got back from the artist for the Price is Right Live. just a super, super fun night. It's you know, it you can't beat it. And who knows? You might literally, you know, win a car. Everybody.
Do they say come on down?
They do. Oh, yes. Oh, it's the whole shebang. You know, I mean, I may or may not have a Plinko chip from a previous visit to the Grand in my office.
So, everybody loves Plinko.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's Friday night. And then Saturday night, Pegasus, who's an amazing group from over in the Green Bay area, part of our 10x10 series. I think at last check, there were four tickets left for that. So four literally is all that's left. And then as we get into next week, the World Ballet Series brings Swan Lake. There's about 100 tickets left for that. And then Classic Albums Live a week from Friday. Really, really cool. Classic Albums Live, because what they do is they take, as the name intones, classic albums, and they play the album.
Great, great thoughts there.
Yeah.
Great. No, I mean,
but no, that's true. But their idea being like they it's not a
they're not interpreting anything. They are playing the albums as they
the album as they, to the point that they always will they will always ask me or, you know, whoever's introducing the show to say, you know, they're not going to talk to you. They're not going to say, on drums from Savannah, Georgia, during the first part, because the album didn't talk to you.
Huh.
You know, they're like when, you know, right. when you know, when they finished The Chain, they didn't say, and that's Lindsey Buckingham on guitar. And so they play the album, they joke that the only time they talk to the audience is after they finish side one, they say, please turn the record over.
Very good.
And then they play side two. And then what's really cool is then they will come back and, you know, after the album's over, they, of course, engage and do that. And then they come back and play a second set of greatest hits. And so they do these for, I mean, they have, I think, 35 different albums that they do and have a rotating group of musicians. And no, there's no costumes, no projections. It's just the music. Their whole thing is close your eyes and imagine that you've put the vinyl on and you're just listening to the music straight through.
So a week from Friday, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors Classic Albums Live. How many tickets are left?
Yeah, there's about 150 tickets.
Oh,
left
not that many. So really,
yeah, but it's going. No, trust me, people want to get those tickets.
Isn't that amazing, though? I mean, you talked about the different kinds of shows, and they all are selling. Again, yeah. it is so impressive that there is a range of the productions that you put on that have the people excited to see them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, if we go back in the last week, two nights of My Fair Lady on last Tuesday and Wednesday, the Step Crew, which is, you know, classic Celtic Irish stepping show on Friday night, and then Cirque Mechanics, which is, you know, the next great American Cirque group on Sunday. And you go, that's a pretty wide spectrum of shows over the course of about 5 days, and all of them had great houses and great audiences, and you know, and then we pivot this week to a live game show.
And again, that's one reason why I envy you in your job, because you get this opportunity. Again, I've compared you to a baseball general manager, where you're able to put it all together, but it has to be just incredibly interesting all the time.
Yeah, it always is. And, you know, the exciting thing is that you're sort of like a baseball GM. You're always looking to improve, and you're never really done. I mean, that's what last week we just put the Board Teachers comedy tour on sale for coming in August. And, of course, that's a cool viral phenomenon that teachers all around the country love, and I think we've already sold about 600 tickets for that. And so it's great to see a total, you know, an audience who you literally see people say, oh, I normally can't make it because I have school in the morning, but hey, it's during August and it's on a Friday night. I'm going to make that trip.
Grandtheater.org, right?
Grandtheater.org is the place
to
go.
Or stop by the box office.
Stop by the box office.
Sean Wright, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Back with more in a moment. Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night, plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, thanks to Sean Wright for joining us here on the program with Ian Welsh. And Ian, I came across a very interesting story.
What's that?
And it's about fandom, you know, being a fan.
I'm a big fan.
Being a big fan of whatever it may be, sports team. And there has to be a limit, though. And people talk about people still talk about the Ice Bowl in Green Bay, but there could be some issues involved with going to a very, very cold football game. In fact, back during the last NFL playoff run, the Kansas City Chiefs made it all the way and won the Super Bowl. Their first playoff game was their only home playoff game. It was in January, the first round playoffs, the wild card weekend. They took on the Miami Dolphins. And it was a very, very cold night. The temperature for the Dolphins-Chiefs wildcard playoff game was minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit, and the wind gust made it a wind chill of minus 27 degrees Fahrenheit. That shattered the record for the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium history, which had been 1 degree set in a 1983 game against Denver and mashed in 2016 against Tennessee. And the thing is, I love watching outdoor games. I'm not a big fan of the domes. But I got to... That's not the issue. The issue is there are fans who went to that game who lost body parts. Literally. Some of the people who attended that game, the Chiefs and the Dolphins, a night game in early January with temperatures below zero, had to undergo amputations after suffering frostbite, a Missouri hospital said Friday.
Oh, good gosh.
Research Medical Center did not provide exact numbers, but said in a statement that it treated dozens of people who had experienced frostbite during an 11-day cold snap in January. 12 of those people, including some were at the January 13th game, had to undergo amputations involving mostly fingers and toes. And the hospital said more surgeries are expected over the next 2 to 4 weeks as injuries evolve. So, man, I mean, it's one thing to love the team, but the game was on TV. You could have stayed home.
I stayed at home and watched it and just be cuddled up with a blanket instead of, which brings up another question, were they addressed appropriately? And I know there's some fans, they go to these games and some of them are like, you know, very decked out in costumes. And then you have some fans who aren't wearing shirts at all. So, I mean, were they wearing shirts?
I sure hope
so. Were they wearing gloves or at least hats or something?
An interesting aspect to this story as well, because that very same weekend, there was a wild card game that was supposed to be played in Buffalo. The Bills were supposed to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But that game was pushed back a day because a blizzard dumped up to 2 feet of snow in New York and made traveling to the game too dangerous. The game in Kansas City went on as scheduled because the frigid weather did not present similar problems getting to Arrowhead Stadium, even though the National Weather Service warned of dangerously cold wind chills. That makes me think, football tends to have this thought process, you don't postpone the games. The weather, it doesn't matter. Baseball, if it's raining, you can't play. You know, if it's too cold, you can't play.
Yep.
Football, the idea is, unless it goes beyond normal snow, normal rain, temperatures, you play the game. Maybe that needs to be rethought after this.
You should have a limit, absolutely. I mean, that's just...
I mean, literally, if your fans are losing body parts, maybe you should think about that, right?
Absolutely. So if there's a lot of snow, it shouldn't be... The game should be canceled, but if it's like only cold with negative winds, you can still have it. Like, okay, if the temperature is in the negatives, you shouldn't have the game. If the wind chill is negative also, you really shouldn't have the game at all.
Well, again, it was...
that needs to be
changed. Frostbite can occur on exposed skin within 30 minutes with such cold temperatures. The time it can be even shorter if there's a wind chill. So, again, it's... I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many people and whether or not those people say, hey, this game should not have been played. We're going to sue. Because in this era, of course, you see lots of suing out there. Lots of suing. So,
indeed.
But again, I think that sometimes the idea you have to do it, you have to play it, you have to be able to get the game in no matter what the weather conditions are, it can lead to tragedy. And it would be tragic to have fingers and toes and other body parts get chopped off because basically it's a case of the NFL decided, well, we can't postpone it because, doggone it, the TV networks are paying us a lot of money, and if we postpone the game, perhaps we have to give some of that money back. No, bad, bad news all around. And again, it's well, for the Packer fans, I know there are season ticket holders here in Central Wisconsin that go to Green Bay. Think about it sometimes. I know you're a big fan, but at the same time, it's just one of those cases where you got to be smarter. And I know I'm not a ticket holder, so it's easy for me to say. But again, you just hate to see that and to see. Really, again, I've never heard that in Green Bay. Maybe the Packer fans know better. Maybe the folks in Kansas City just didn't realize that, hey, if it gets this cold, we better layer up even more. Because, I mean, I think Packer fans probably are more experienced with it, and they know the dangers.
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely.
So, yeah, exactly right. Also, I haven't really talked about this, about some of the people that are being put up for office by the Republican Party. And I came across a story as well talking about the nominee for governor in North Carolina for the Republicans. And you wonder how far down this rabbit hole can they go? Last week, Republicans in North Carolina nominated a disgusting, bigoted, misogynistic, anti-Semite for the governorship.
Oh, boy.
Mark Robinson, the nominee, is on the record. He's on the record with the following. He has denied that the Holocaust happened and has made all manner of other anti-Semitic statements, including claiming that the movie Black Panther was created by greedy Jews in order to steal shekels, which is a slur, from the pockets of black people, whom he refers to using the Yiddish racial slur. And I can't even pronounce this name, and I'm not going to try.
Because you don't have to say it.
It's a slur. He also has mocked school shooting survivors, children who watched their classmates die in the halls of gunfire, by calling them media prostitutes.
Oh, come on.
He has criticized... Oh, doggone it, I hit the wrong button. I lost my note here.
Where are Republicans finding these people?
He has criticized women protesting rape and sexual harassment in Hollywood for wearing, quote, and I apologize for the term, whore dresses.
Oh, boy.
He says that he wishes women did not have the right to vote. And he said that the acceptance of homosexuality will lead to pedophilia and the end, all capital letters, of civilization as we know it.
Where are these people coming
this
from?
This is the nominee. This is not just the guy running. And again, we had a primary here in Wausau for the mayor with a anti-Semite running for mayor.
Christopher Wood.
Exactly. Wasn't it? And the good news is he did not become one of the two finalists. He got less than 5% of the vote. A Republican Party nominating this guy, he has been endorsed by Donald Trump.
No surprise there.
And again, it's just a scandal. This is a scandal. This is a scandal that one of the two major political parties has decided that this kind of person should be their nominee for governor. And the thing about it is, we need the media to stop focusing on the silliness of Princess Kate and start focusing on true policy. And these are policy issues. We need to focus on this and not on horse races, not on polls, not on anything like that. We need to focus on what these people truly believe in.
Exactly. I mean, if it doesn't have to do with the issues of the nation and the politics, you know, it shouldn't be like the top story. We actually have real issues, and these candidates are not representing our country very well.
And like, real issues, and also real records.
Especially if that guy gets reelected.
Elected.
If that guy gets elected for governor, that is a terrible thing.
And the thing is, people have records as well. They have records. This person has a record of what he said and done. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, has a record. Donald Trump has a record. Everybody has a record. It's time to focus on the records. Not on the polls, not on the clickbait. Focus on the records. It's too important.
Yeah.
Our system does not work unless we focus on the right things.
And you're not going to find somebody who has a perfect record because everybody makes mistakes. But you should be focusing on the stuff on the record that actually, you know, makes them a worthy candidate. You know, the good as well as the bad. You have to actually look at the issues. You have to look at the records and see, okay, is this the type of person that I want to be representing our country? Just
let's focus on the important things.
We need to draw the attention back to that and not just focus on the showmanship, or as I call it, the dog and pony show. It's not about the outward appearance. It's about what they stand for. I know I sound like a broken record there, but it's something that has to be reinforced because it's something that's absolutely true.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. So, again, I mean, that this guy could get through a primary and become the nominee, it just shows, again, that there's a lot of aspects of the GOP that needs to be looked at. They need to tear themselves away from the mega thoughts, the mega actions, and try to go back to a sane conservatism. You can disagree on issues, but boy, when you start to get women should not vote.
Man.
Kids who have seen their classmates die are props. Blaming women who are raped for dressing like whores. I mean, how do you, I don't get it. I don't. All right.
Either.
Deep breath. 9:48. Coming up, we're going to take a look at our daily history lesson, and we're going to try to get Ian Welsh back on the winning track.
Yes.
So that's coming up. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 12:30. High school boys basketball team is heading to the state tournament. Thursday night, the Red Raiders take on Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic in a Division IV state semifinal. We'll be live at the Kohl Center for all the exciting play-by-play on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:20 and the opening tip at 6:35. Marathon High School State Tournament Basketball is brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Industrial Finishing, Underwood Construction, The Dirks Group, Brickners of Little Chicago, The People State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, Twin Forest Products, The Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, and Marathon Part City. Marathon against Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic in a Division IV state semifinal Thursday night on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 at 12:30. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is the 13th day of March. I said it was the 13th day of March 2 days ago, but today it really is March the 13th of 2024. Mm-hmm. There are that 73rd day of the year. There are 293 days remaining in this year. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Back in 1639, Harvard College was named for clergyman John Harvard. On this date in 1961, Mattel introduced the Ken doll. And of course, it became very famous again for the Barbie movie.
Yep.
So 1961, so quite a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
On this date in 1987, Bryan Adams' Heat of the Night became the first commercially released cassette single in the U.S. On this date in 2002, on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, Tanya Harding beat Paula Jones, Danny Bonaducci whipped Barry Williams, and Todd Bridges defeated Vanilla Ice. I will say, not one of the greatest days in sports history. On this date in 2012, Encyclopedia Britannica announced it would no longer publish printed versions of its encyclopedia. On this date in 2019, the U.S. grounded all Boeing 737 MAX aircraft after bans by other countries following the plane type's second crash in Ethiopia. On this date, 4 years ago today, 2020, African-American Breonna Taylor was shot and killed by police officers executing a no-knock warrant on her apartment with a battering ram in Louisville, Kentucky. And on this date in 2023, Ruth E. Carter became the first black woman to win two Oscars. Carter, who in 2019 became the first black person to win the Oscar for costume design for her work on Marvel's Black Panther, was recognized for the film's sequel, Wakanda Forever. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor William H. Macy of Shameless and Jurassic Park 3 and is 74 years old today. Actor Dana Delaney, Hand of God, Body of Proof, among others, is 68. Adam Clayton of U2 is 64. Common is 52. Emil Hirsch, actor, is 39 years old today. Skier Michaela Schifrin, one of the all-time greats on the slopes. Michaela Schifrin is 29 years old today. And rapper Jack Harlow, turning 26 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Donald Duck Day. Donald Duck Day. So it is Earmuff Day. It is Ken Day. Chicken Noodle Soup Day.
Ooh, sounds good.
Ginger Ale Day. No Smoking Day. Jewel Day. Registered Dietitian and Nutritionist Day. Canine Veterans Day. Good Samaritan Day. And Open an Umbrella Indoors Day.
No, I think that's a bad look.
That would be. I did walk under a ladder on my way to work this morning.
Oh.
Because they were doing some work down the street.
Yeah, that's another sign of bad luck.
I walked under a ladder today, so we'll see if I can get through today without any bad luck. All right, time for our number for the day.
Okay. I got to focus up.
0-2 so far this week.
I gotta get this right.
All right. The number for the day today is the number of followers Kermit the Frog has on X.
Oh.
The number
of the question.
Yep.
Okay.
The number of followers that Kermit the Frog has on X.
Okay.
Is the correct answer. 382,862. 427,862. See, 498,862.
So they end the same, but the beginning number is different.
Yep. Okay. So A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with, trust my gut on this one. I'm going to go with C. I'm going to go with the biggest number.
498,862.
Oh, I hope I'm right on this one.
The correct answer is 427,862.
can't believe I got that one wrong.
That's not easy. I mean, it's not as though you know exactly how many followers Kermit the Frog had, but Kermit, pretty popular.
Oh, very popular.
Very popular. Kermit the Frog, 427,862.
Yeah, try again tomorrow.
Well, thanks to our guests, Bob Look and Sean Wright. Tomorrow, we'll be joined at the start of the show by Pat Kreitlow. And then we'll have our North Star Restoration. Boy, I'm going to make it here. North Star Restoration Thursday feature. And Kara Whelan, again, the widow of Officer Jason Whelan, 7th anniversary of that tragedy coming up. We're going to talk to Kara Whelan tomorrow at 9:34. Ian, have a great day.
You too, Jed. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
And join us tomorrow here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.